Hey, everybody. This is Dana Small.
This is Rusty Pepper.
Welcome to another edition of MarPro,
the Marketing Procurement Podcast.
Nailed it. Awesome. Rusty, how's it going today?
It's good. We got a great guest today. I'm excited about the show. So you want to give them a little bit of an introduction or preface it a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. I love new technology. And if people follow my blog, they know I love new technology and being the first to things. So when I had somebody reach out to me, a supplier I'd worked with in the past, and said, hey, we got this great new technology. Do you want to check it out? I was like, hell yeah, I want to check it out. I'd want to see what it's all about. And so the conversation went and we had a capabilities presentation. From my perspective from procurement, some of the value we provide is bringing in new technologies that not only can be cost effective or efficient, but just can bring in a new flavor and give your company the edge. And I think by doing this and having Dean on our show and explaining this great new technology, I think we can get that out to other people so that they can also leverage it for across their industries and in their meetings. But I am not a tech expert, so.
Well, before we get him introduced, let me just ask you a question about that, because I think you bring up a really good point. What you said is I had a vendor reach out and say, hey, we've got some really kick-ass technology that I think you would really like to see. Obviously, there had to be some kind of call to action attached to that outreach. But how often are you getting outreaches like that where you actually agree versus, yeah, thanks, but no thanks? What was the trigger point in that outreach that made you say, yeah, I want to have a call?
Yeah, the technology itself and the fact that I hadn't heard of it or seen anybody use it before, something new and fresh in the space. And I think, you know, that and obviously my past experience with Dean, I liked him. I thought he was a good guy. So you've got a good rapport going on. But definitely the fact that it's new and there's, I think, multiple uses for it. So even though it was like, hey, do you want to meet, call to action, have a meeting? It was like, hell yeah, I want to have a meeting. I want to see what's new in the marketplace, because if it can give my company an advantage, I want to see it. So does that kind of explain it?
Yeah, no, I just didn't know if it was promise of savings or efficiencies or, hey, this is just really innovative technology that can transform the way you're doing it, a certain part of the business. I just didn't know if there was something that really stood out that said, wow, okay, I'm going to go and take advantage of this.
He said holographic technology. So I figured if he could put me on stage with Tupac, then I'm sold. So anything... That was my basis for all of this. But yeah, no, I think it's really great. And I'll let Dean explain more of the technology piece, because it's definitely not something for me to do. But Dean, do you want to give everybody kind of a background about you, where you work, and then we can start going into the technology and talk a little bit more about that and what you think it could do?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the intro and the kind words. My name is Dean Arrington. I'm with Metro Audiovisual Productions. We are a live event production company based in Northern California, and we provide audiovisual and production support for numerous clients around the world, whether it is the typical annual conference for a association or a SKO or some sort of corporate event, whether it's internal, external, B2B, B2C, client-facing, whatever it is, we learn about the event, design the stage, design the general session branding, and we really focus on the goals of the event and the awareness, or whether the scope of work is for the B2C or B2B. We really focus on bringing those ideas to life with our creative designs. So when I found this technology, the hologram technology, I was blown away, because like you said, Dana, it's so many practical use cases for it that really just stuck out to me. This is right up our alley, because we're always looking to bring the new technology to a new client, whether that's a small association, big corporate, whatever it is. We just love the tech. We love to innovate. We love to design new stuff. That's the general census around me.
Obviously, we just came out of a pretty tough, or was still in with COVID, but that really shut down the events industry. That's a big part of your business. What was some of the things that you took from that? And then obviously, what are you seeing now for your business?
Good question. Yeah, good question, Rusty. So February, March, there was a lot of rumblings about a pandemic, and it was coming from Asia and it was working its way. And we didn't really think much about it until things actually got real and you started seeing the deaths climb and everything. And when it comes to having large events, an airborne pandemic, airborne virus really shuts that down really quick. So we had one event in Long Beach for about 1,500 people at late February, and then one event, I think the second week of March in Seattle, which was a hotspot here in the United States for COVID-19. And that was the last live event we did in 2020. We had produced several, you can call them virtual events now, but they were more webcast style events for some of our pharmaceutical clients. Coupled with our experience with hybrid events, it was easy for us to pivot into 100% virtual space because we've done it before. We have the talent, we have the equipment for it. Some maybe companies weren't able to pivot, whether it's because of debt or they didn't know how to have a virtual event or the right vendors to push them in the right way. Many AV companies in California passed, not to mention New York, Chicago, Texas, and the bigger markets. We've been producing virtual events since about May or June of 2020. And they're fun. They're really great. But we prefer live events like most people do. There's not a lot of revenue in the virtual event space when you compare that actual virtual event to the live event. So I know some companies have scaled down almost to 90% less of a budget. You really have to find the right clients to work with. Coming out of COVID, obviously, we're doing a lot of hybrid events still and really looking to rehumanize the virtual event experience with this new technology. So we're very hopeful. 2021, probably 2022 is still going to be a growing year for our industry, but things are looking up. So we're really hopeful.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it. Now, Dana, I want to ask from a marketing procurement standpoint, when you look at budgets for live events, trade shows, conferences, I don't know where all that falls within your purview, but when you look out into 2022, are you seeing that budget come back?
I really think it depends on the company. Ours particularly, we've had a hard time with product launches, so I don't know that we're going to be hard-pressed to go back to live events. That said, I think they just had one, so what do I know? Actually, with the sales team down in, I think, Southern California. Honestly, I think when you think about live hybrid events, I think we will still maintain some hybrid just for the pure cost savings portion of it. I do think some budget will come back for conferences and shows, exhibits, booths, things of those sort. That said, I just got an email yesterday saying we're not going back till January. It's every day you're trying to figure out which way the wind's blowing. And to me, I remember when I engaged with Dean and their AV, they really had experience previously where he was able to pivot. Their business was able to pivot where the other businesses we saw that kind of crash and burn really didn't have that any type of virtual experience. And so it was really hard, I think, from the, you know, buy side to find suppliers who aren't just pivoting like in a month and they have never done anything.
Oh, shit. I got to go figure this out. Yeah.
And it was. The marketplace was a you-know-what S show, right? Because you had all these people who were like, normally only in person and AV and all these types of providers. And they're like, I got to keep money coming in the door and I don't blame them. But do you really want those people when it's their first time going after major events or sales teams meetings? And no. And so what really stuck out with Metro AV was the fact that they had experience and you could tell they were well-versed and they knew what they were talking about. And it wasn't like we pivoted a month ago.
It sounds like it was, you know, Dean, can talk about that side of your business. What was the driving force to originally go into virtual and hybrid events? Because clearly that was a boon for you guys as COVID came in because it was really second nature compared to a lot of your competitors.
Yeah. So it wasn't so much as a want rather than a complete absolute necessity. Because like you said, we need money coming in. So we just did a big group meeting with all of our freelancers, all of our technicians who we kept on, and just said, okay, guys, let's just throw it up on the board. Let's see what we can do. How can we make a real virtual event virtual? Because we've done the hybrids all the time. We can stream on Facebook, YouTube, that's easy to do. But people want to be engaged. They don't want to be sitting in a Zoom call for 2-3 hours. They need to be engaged. They want to watch a movie. Had an idea board, a word cloud, if you will, of what we could do. And we actually found a new vendor in IBM, which is an amazing partner. They acquired a company 6, 7, 8 years ago to bring on more of the media streaming component. And they've been invaluable to us, to be honest with you. And then in that, we found another partner that does a lot of single sign-on and our video on demand work for us. So we've actually gained a lot, several new clients, a lot of new vendors, a lot of partners with this pandemic. So it's been fun. It's really great. I like getting really granular with the design and the overlays. When it comes to executing, like Dana was saying, you don't want someone saying, oh shit, we need to figure this out now. You want people with that experience. And most people, virtual events are, you know, 10, 20 years old. It's nothing new, but everybody was forced to do it. And that was a big scramble. We were fortunate enough to have the infrastructure, have the talent to produce these events in such a high quality. So we really lucked out because a few companies here in Sacramento even went under and sold just because they didn't have the resources. Yeah, it's been fun. So we're looking forward to live events whenever they happen. And Dan was saying most corporations, 2022, maybe Q1, Q2, just depending on their comfort level, because they don't want to be the first super spreader. So we'll see.
Yeah. I've got my fingers crossed that we get the live events back, because it was really a shame in 2020 when South by Southwest, it seemed like as soon as that conference canceled, all the dominoes just fell. And nope. Wow, you talk about just, that was just rough. All right, so let's now talk about this new technology.
So I actually found this technology, one of the good highlights of 2020 is an app called Clubhouse. It's a social audio drop-in app. If you haven't downloaded it, download it. It's amazing. Love it. Met a lot of good people on there, a lot of new friends. Found this technology in one of the rooms I was moderating with, and the gentleman, I forget his name, said a lot of big corporations and pharma is using it. And that perked my ear up because we have a lot of work in the pharmaceutical industry. I said, I'll take a demo. What the hell? So did the demo. Totally amazed. I said, I told our president, I was like, we need to do this ASAP. So we signed contracts, I think 2-3 weeks ago, press releases came out, and the technology is called HoloPresence. We've partnered with a company called Art Media. They are the driving force and the IP holders of this technology. So essentially what the technology can do is when busy high-profile presenters, keynote speakers, if they can't be at an event, we can put them at any event in the world and they can give their presentation, they can give their address. After that, they can then engage with the audience in a full-form hologram image. Like Dana was saying, it looked like Tupac to her. It does look a little bit like Tupac. The technology is a little bit more advanced than the Pepper's Ghost that Tupac was a part of at Coachella several years ago. But when the person gives their address, they are in full form, head to toe, in full scale, lifelike form. The large ROI with this technology is we can actually multiply this person anywhere in the world. So I always give the example of Bill Gates. He's a busy guy doing a lot of positive work for the world. If he needs to be in London and Germany and Singapore, that's going to be a lot of carbon in the air. It's going to take a lot of time out of his day. What we're able to do is build a capture studio for him, put him in front of a green screen, put him in front of a camera or two, give him really good lighting, really good audio, take his image and beam it to those three locations. All of it is simultaneous. There's no latency and everything is in HD video. So the use cases for this is really whatever you want it to be. So with COVID still surging in some parts of the world, we're able to take out the hassle of travel, of time, per diems, hotel rooms, and keep people where they need to be, put them in a capture studio and beam them to wherever they need to be. There's been different use cases where large pharmaceutical companies have beamed doctors into multiple ad board meetings at the same time, saving thousands of dollars on travel costs. And there's been times where I think NATO's been using it, AT&T, the NBA, a lot of high profile entities have been using this technology to not just be the first to do it, but to gain advantage of their competitor, because this technology is fairly new to the United States. A lot of our clients in Europe, when I brought this topic up to them, I was surprised because they said, oh, you have something like this, let's see it. They have seen stuff like this before. Our client in China has seen this before. Our friend in Australia has seen this before. It takes a very long time, unfortunately, for this technology to get to the United States. So for the people who don't like to travel and want something new, the latest and greatest, then I would love to talk to them about it. I love talking to Dane about it and you about it. It's just amazing technology that is essentially rehumanizing the digital communication experience. So yeah, we're super excited.
If, say, I was presenting, would I be presenting live or would I be pre-recorded and then it would be broadcast? Or is, I guess we could do it both ways.
You can do it both ways. So we can capture your 15-minute address, beam it live to, say, three locations, wherever it may be. Then you, your company, can take that content, market it on social media, market it, and use it as an asset for future events.
I think the cool part about this is it really addresses the issue of Zoom fatigue, right? Everybody is so sick of Zoom calls. And if you think about it, like, if we can do something different, this is a solution for it, that you can have whatever, a chef go and teach 10 classes across the U.S. at the same time versus paying that chef to, you know, travel all along. And then you have him, and when it is live, which is cool, you have him there. He can see you and interact with you just as much as you can see him and interact with him, which I think is the cool part. So it's takes away, yes, it's similar to live meetings, but it takes away that Zoom fatigue and adds a little bit more to it, a little bit more the humanity that we miss in like conferences and things of that sort.
Do you have to be at the conference in order to see the hologram? Or if I'm logging in online, am I going to see it?
So we actually have two offerings. One is the HoloPresence, which is the live component. And we have a virtual option in what we call a virtual global stage. Before I get into the VGS, virtual global stage, the bandwidth is actually quite reasonable. It's 10 up and 10 down for the HoloPresence or for the VGS. If the presenter has a PowerPoint or a keynote, we want 10 down and 20 up just for enough bandwidth to get to the end user. So it's nothing, there's no bandwidth extreme uses or anything. It's still in the realm of, oh, that's reasonable. So with the virtual global stage, the cool thing is the one-to-one transmission, right? Bill Gates to London, we can do that all day. Bill Gates to 10 of his offices around the world, we can do that as well. The cool part is same is true in reverse. We can grab 1 to 4 people from different parts of the world and put them onto either the HoloPresence stage or the virtual global stage as well. So you can get a, you know, bioengineer in New York, you can get a Harvard professor, you can get someone in Spain, you can get a designer in Japan, put them all together in one stage. And now you have this amazing content, both live or virtual, that you can either watch in person, you can watch on your computer screen, tablet, whatever it is. But it's so engaging, like Dana was saying, Zoom fatigue. It's so engaging because you have these 4 people that you would never get to see on the same stage at one time, especially during this pandemic. And you're learning about them. So not only does engagement goes up, but the net promoter score goes up, and then the content retention goes up because people are seeing this for the first time. So it's really a win-win, and not to mention saving, you know, the environment in the process.
Yeah, I think sustainability is nice nowadays. Everybody's looking for good, green, sustainable products and reducing carbon footprint and everything else. But I think it's really interesting because right now all we see is talking heads. And it's completely different when you see somebody. So it's different when you see somebody standing up in full form and they're talking to somebody else, even if it's holographic, it's a different feeling or vibe, I think. And the fact that this technology can do it, I think could break Zoom fatigue for a lot of us and really change the way we do things if we embrace it, right? If we embrace the technology and bring it through.
So let's talk about some of the results that you've gotten from it, the feedback. Where do you see the biggest use cases and what's been the reception so far?
So everything has been extremely positive. From the presenter standpoint, a lot of people are a little nervous, right? I still get stage fright when I have to go into a room with 20 people I don't know, not to mention speaking in front of an audience of 200 plus people. So when people go into the Capture Studio, it's a very clean, stale environment with a green screen, a lot of equipment, and they go in, they rehearse for a little bit, come back the next day, give their address, and then they go about their day. And the feedback we get from the presenters is, wow, that was easier than I thought. And they get to spend time with their family. They don't have to pack or go on a plane or anything. They're there in their hometown. From the attendee side, depending on who is being the subject of the hologram, there's a lot of obviously social media and hashtag exposure that we get from the wow factor, if you will. But most of the people in the audience are just wowed by it. And some of our clients have promoted it as this person is going to be a hologram or special guest, stay tuned. So you can really play it however you wish. But everything's been really positive from the virtual component. Like Dana was saying, with Zoom fatigue, people want something new. And sure, you can be an avatar on a virtual event, or you can be in some sort of immersive environment. But this takes away that, not cheesiness, it's great tech, but if you don't need to do it, we're big proponents of, if you don't need to do it, don't do it. Or why are you doing it, right? There needs to be a reason why you want to do this. Just because you can have an avatar doesn't mean it's right for your brand or for your stakeholders, attendees, whatever it is. So this removes all the BS and puts people where they need to be in full form. And with this technology, like I said, you can grab from anywhere in the world, put them in a different capture studio and put everybody live. So it's really revolutionizing how we interact. And I actually just read an article on the Wall Street Journal that most corporations are looking for new hologram technology. Like, they want this to be part of everyday life, right? They want to be part of the Jetsons. They want that new tech because it's going to be here. So we feel privileged to be the exclusive provider of this on the West Coast and even South America. So it's just really exciting to be on the ground floor of this. So
that's neat. So one big problem with holographic technology, at least when I was looking at it originally for campaigns, was the fact that you have to have the reader. Do you ever see this particular technology moving to a standpoint where you could actually have desktop type readers where that can actually be by streaming it through your phone and then projecting up through the actual reader where it would actually then project it? Do you see that being something that you are going to be able to morph into?
So actually, that's funny you say that because a potential client of ours in Texas, I showed her this technology who we've been chatting on Slack. And I said, she's really innovative. She has her own agency. I said, I really have to show this to you. And she thought it was that same exact thing. You put your phone on a table and something can project like your Tony Stark or something like that from your phone. When I showed her this, I wasn't expecting this. I was expecting a hologram on your phone or a tablet. So that technology actually does exist. But to bring it to a usable level, it's still many years away because the technology, they had to put some sort of film or some sort of guide or element or something like that on their phone. And the image was only 3 to 6 inches high, she said. So it was a lot of money to do this. And it was actually at South by Southwest a couple of years ago. So that technology exists. Obviously, companies are still trying to imitate that to try to get it to real life. With our technology, COVID's still happening. We've actually been approached. Could we do this in a tent in the daytime? Yes, absolutely. However, we would need to bring in an LED wall, which would drive the cost up a little bit. And then the magic goes away because they call it the parallax effect. You're driving in a car and you see a telephone pole coming towards you. You start to see the depth and the scale of it when it gets closer to you. Using an LED wall, the magic goes away a little bit. But when it comes to projection, not to get too technical, but we can do front or rear projection, and the screen is anywhere from 5 to 30 feet wide. So depending on the scope of work and the environment, we have a lot of variables to play with when it comes to what we're able to do with technology. So I guess to answer your question, it depends on the use case, right? Is it an outdoor event? Is it for a boutique event? In a ballroom somewhere. So it's not just this, we have to do this one way. There's many ways to do this.
It sounds really innovative. Dana,
So there's this cool feature. So there's kind of two ways to think about it. And because I'm a visual person, it's hard to really understand what it looks like without seeing it. But since I've seen it, hopefully I can help create it. One is a fully transparent screen, right? You could stick up on the conference stage. Another is the fact that you can't see full people on like a conference online, but yet they're holographs The other cool thing is the Holopod, which I think Dean could probably talk better about or more about, but it's this stationary kind of thing. And for me, thinking about like conferences and meetings and things you can do and having patience and trying to save on travel, it's something that you could actually buy. And say we wanted our CFO at, you know, multiple places, we could put these Holopods in multiple buildings throughout the world. And then you could see not just a talking head, not just the CFO's talking. You could see him full form. They can see you. You can interact. But I think it's an interesting kind of difference versus just a conference setting where you have this huge screen and you can see somebody up there and, oh, it's a cool thing. I think there's more daily interactions it could definitely be used for. It's just the investment in the technology to be able to buy these. Is it Holopods? Am I saying it correctly? Holopods?
Yeah. It's a Holopod. Yep. So the Holopod is the newest SKU. The HoloPresence and the Virtual Global Stage are temporary solutions. The Holopod is a permanent installation. It's fixed in place. It's a large, think of a old school telephone box on steroids, right? It's probably 7x7. The ceiling height is maybe 8 feet. There's a projector, there's speakers, there's cameras. It's a very high-tech box. And that's been used, or they see it being used in war rooms, business rooms, lecture halls, or anywhere there is a town hall setting for a large corporation. So that has been used only in a few locations just because it's so new. It's their newest SKU. But even activations, like Dana was saying, we could probably put this in our exhibit booth. Whoever could be in the capture studio, it could change out, right? It could be the CEO, CMO, it could be SME. It could be anybody that they want to put in the booth. So if the client has questions, it's not this 2D experience on Zoom. It could be, I have a question. Oh, let me bring in my sales engineer. And depending on the event, you could have 4 or 5 people just rotating through, and that could be your one-on-one experience rather than you setting up a Zoom call on a typical virtual event. So like Dana was saying, there's so many use cases. You just have to think about what you want to use this for.
What type of costs are you looking at? Obviously, you have to create a studio for it. What equipment's needed? What type of investments are companies looking for?
So a typical one-to-one transmission, so Bill Gates from New York to London, that's going to be about $25,000 to $30,000, depending on the event and if Metro AV is part of the event. If we are looking at a virtual global stage, it could be anywhere from $15,000 to $200,000. Depending on how many days the event is, how many speakers there are, the level of production that we need to raise, editing costs. So that's the largest, second to largest cost. And then the Holopod is anywhere between $225,000 and $250,000. With that, it's an all-encompass, everything's included in that cost. Not that there's price points for every market, but there really is. So anywhere from figure 15 to 250,000, depending on your event. With what I get really excited about is the one-to-many scenarios, right? So I need to put Bill Gates in 20 locations, or like Dana was saying, the chef. Instead of flying the chef to 10 different cities over 2 months, do it one time, spread your ROI, capture all that content, create a large media campaign, any campaign for that matter, and really change how you do things on a positive level. It's net positive. Sure, it's going to cost a lot of money, but you're probably going to save a lot of money, because a lot of these corporations that are doing this are, when they get these larger budgets, they're spending $500,000 on an event. But with us, sometimes it's maybe $250,000 or $300,000. So it really depends on the scope of work that you're trying to obtain and the goals you set.
So one of the values, though, of having speakers there live is they get to press the flesh, spend time with the folks. You're actually your bigger sponsors. There's a big plug in with them as well. So they get to spend time with them, have dinner with them, whatever it may be that is part of it. What is the pushback you're seeing with that? Because that's a pretty important part of the reason why people go to these events, because they can actually see somebody live versus holographic Dana.
Which would be cool. Yeah. So I was talking to a buddy in Atlanta, and he just got a new event planning job for a great company. And he's got all the autonomy in the world. He's planning everything how he wants to plan it. And he said, Dean, why would I want to use this? He's no BS. Why would I want to use this other than cool or wow factor? And I said, wow, okay, let's cut the BS. So other than the cool wow factor, other than a lot of people want to be first, I pitched several sports agencies in the basketball area, and they all want to be right the first to do it because they want that edge. They want the bragging rights. People still don't like to travel. I'm still nervous about traveling. My parents are old. My mother-in-law, father-in-law, they're old. How can I say this? You want to do it because it's the, not that it's the right thing to do, but it helps people be comfortable with what they're doing. So if I don't like to travel, I would want somebody to come to my home, masked up, social distance, all that fun stuff. But if I don't have to travel and I have the money to do this, Elon Musk of the world with $30,000 to them, probably nothing. The wow factor obviously is there with, oh my God, it's a hologram, but I wish Elon Musk was here in person. People just don't like to travel. So that's the biggest incentive that to...
You're saying the speakers. There's
the speakers, it, yeah.
Solves the problem of some of the speakers, which is fine.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see, having been part of sponsorships before in the past with these events, a big part of it is the keynotes and spending time with them and being a part of that. Well, and then you can't replace that person.
Wait, though, as a speaker, I've done keynotes and I've done a ton of events and been on panels. To me, I would rather be in a studio by myself with lights than sitting up on stage. Like, I don't have stage fright, but I still, like Dean said, I get a little nervous. You're sitting in front of 500 people and you have to present, or you can be in front of a screen. Give me the screen. Everybody's used to Zoom. Everybody's used to that. Not everybody likes to get up in front of a lot of people. I know a lot of people who just won't do it. And to me, it provides an alternate for people who don't want to be standing up in front of a lot of people and maybe have that stage. I think it also provides the opportunity when you think about, okay, you're at an event and you could swap out different people. Like, hey, you want to talk to our word farmer, right? So you want to talk to a clinical specialist on the trial? Okay, he can come in the hollow presence and he can talk to you. Those people interact at the booth. Oh, hey, you want to talk to our CFO? Okay, let's bring our CFO. And then you could talk to him. So it allows for that, I feel like, transparency and flexibility that you'd even be able to bring different people in without having to pay the ton of T&E costs to have. You're not going to want to have all those people in a booth. You typically have a couple sales reps. But there's so many use cases for me, I at least think, in the farm industry. Maybe that's why we've adopted it. Especially when you have like doctors who have crazy schedules and things of that sort, it just gives you a little bit more flexibility, I think, than it would, hey, we need this doctor to speak on this topic in Amsterdam and he's in Germany, but we could do this and still have him speak. So I think there's a ton of cool ideas that you could probably do.
I think down the road, you look at how, look, the technology is going to continue to evolve. People are going to be blown away by all the different cool things out there. But at some point, though, it still has to stick. You got to get people mm-hmm. to get, move past the fact that, quite honestly, I've never really had anybody say that they didn't want to do a speaking engagement because they were afraid to travel, or they were afraid to get up there in front of a bunch of people. I think actually it must be better to speak in front of a bunch of people versus a screen, because at least you get the feedback. Hey, if I'm sucking, I'm going to know. Versus you get that instant, like, boo, get off. Yeah, all right, I better change
That's
it.
That's only but you, Rusty. I don't get booed.
You get that feedback, though. But when you're in front of a bunch of people and you're speaking, sure. you feed
but you
off
see
that.
Them, and, but you still can see them, right? Without being yeah. in the room with them.
If it's live, yeah.
Yeah.
So
one
I
of the things that Dan alluded to is you can get premier access to the who's who of the keynote circuit, if you will. So if Deepak Chopra is in New York, but your event is in Brussels, you really want him to speak at your scientific event, but he can't travel, put him in, you know, hall of presence. We can beam him to your event. And actually some people, this is shocking, but some high profile speakers will actually be your guest as a keynote for less money by using this hologram technology. So if their speaking fee is $100,000, they might do it for 60 or 70 because they know the travel cost isn't there. They can go in the capture studio, give a quick hour, 2 hour lecture, and then go about their day.
That's where I see a huge benefit. Yeah. You can do more engagement. You can actually double dip on the same day if you had to. You know, it's not for everybody, but it also serves purposes when there are conflicts and you must have them. Or I can schedule two events on the same day. But that's beautiful. I didn't really think about that, but why not? So how could people learn more about this product and in your company?
They can go to our website, metroaudiovisual.com, go to our team page and send me an email. We can book a demo right there on our website, or you can send me an email. I can send you our deck and then we can just start from there, because there's there's so many, every time I speak to somebody new, this is really exciting. Every time I speak to somebody like Dana, who's in global procurement, or I speak to VP of production for a basketball team, they always give me new ideas about what this could be used for. It leads me down to different areas. So I love talking to people, especially about technology, especially about this technology. So metroaudiovisual.com, go to our team page. You can book a meeting with me, or you can just send me an email. We can chat. I can share you our deck as well. But yeah, that's probably the easiest way. You can go to social media. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram.
All the cast of characters. Email.
Exactly. Yeah, usual suspects.
So the reason I really like Dean, he's genuine, but also he's not going to give you the hard sell. It's not a lot of times I think in procurement, we get these people selling and pushing, and it's like, I don't want to sit through that all day, every day. You really just want somebody to explain what's going on. And if you're interested, you're going to tell them. You're like, with Dean, I'm like, okay, yes, let's do this. I'm setting up capabilities presentations. I'm doing all those things. But it's nice to have somebody who's not trying to shove something down your throat and sell it to you. And that hard sale to me is typically one of the things that kind of makes me veer away from certain people or certain suppliers. So the fact that you don't have to have somebody cyber stalking you or calling your cell phone and you don't know how they got their phone number and still trying to figure that one out. So things like that, I think it's nice when you think about the interactions that you have with specific, you know, people and suppliers. Yeah. He's got great hair.
I think I get from my grandfather. But yeah, the like I told Dana, this technology sells itself. So I don't have to be pushy. And if people get it, they get it. If they don't, I know it's like getting in on sunlight before there's sunlight, right? I know there's going to be use case. I know people are going to say that, you know, base price of 30K is a little pricey for us. Okay, not a problem. Get a good sponsor. Maybe we can do some B-roll or highlight footage to lower the cost, a small discount or something like that. But I know people are going to use it. So it's just getting in front of the right people to see the technology and understand it, because it's an hour out of my day or 2 hours out of my day to speak to somebody. I'll spend all the time in the world with them to explain the technology.
Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on, Marpro. It's been really interesting conversation. Congrats on all the success and look forward to staying in touch.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Dana. Thanks, Rusty.